Parshas Ki Tse. Our line is going to be, it's all about Saras. And I know I'm a little bit off, that should be like a Tazria Mitzora type of thing. But there's Psukim in this week's Parsha, along with all the other mitzvos that are mentioned, that deal with the Nega of Saras. Here's the Pasuk. The Pasuk says in Perek Chav Dalid Pasuk Ches, He Shomer B'Nega HaTzaras. Be careful about the Nega of Saras. Lishmor Ma'od. Be very careful. V'lasos Kecho Asher Yoru Eschem HaKohanim. You should do everything that the Kohanim teach you to do. HaLevim, that are Levim. Kasher Tzivisem seem like I commanded them. Tishmul also, you have to keep it. Three times it says the word that you have to be careful. Lishmor ma'od, it says. Zochor es asher asher asa Hashem alakech l'Miriam b'derech b'tzizam Mitzrayim. Remember what happened to Miriam on your way out, when the path, when you went out from Mitzrayim. What happened to Miriam? She spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore she got Saras. Remember, that's what happened over there. It's an amazing idea. So what is this Hishomer b'nega ha-tzaras? What is this Zachor, es asher asa Hashem alakech l'Miriam? What are we saying over here? So Rashi says this is a lav, an absolute lav. If a person gets Saras, he is not allowed, here is the lav, you are not allowed to cut off the simen tuma, the baharis, the tzaras that you have on your body. You have a little spot right over there, you're not allowed to take a knife and just cut it off like a blister, like a really bad wart. You're not allowed to do such a thing. You're not allowed to cut it off. You're not allowed to do anything like that. Instead, just listen to the Kohanim. The Kohanim tell you you're Tameh, you're Tameh. Kohanim tell you you're Tahor, you're Tahor. Whatever they tell you to do, accept their words. Halachically, here's how it goes. If you cut off the Baharis to the point where he's now Tahor, meaning there's nothing left, you literally cut it off so much that there's nothing left on your skin itself, there's less than the size that you need to be Tameh, then you're Chayiv Malkus. You're Chayiv Malkus, you get 39 lashes. If you cut off a little bit to make it look a little better, but you'd still be declared Tameh by the Kohen would take a look at you and say, you're still Tameh. You're still Tameh, but you cut it off to make it look a little bit better, then you get Makas Mardus. That's Durabanan de Galashes. Not the exact same thing, not necessarily 39 of them, but that's Makas Mardus. Even cutting a tiny hair, there's one hair sticking out. It's like one of those long ones, you know, those really weird long hairs that just keep growing. And it's like that one little white hair that's going out of the tzaras. And you're just like, I just can't deal with this. And I'm so angry at it. And you cut it off. That would be not necessarily Malkus, not necessarily Makas Mardus, but it is Usser. That would be considered Usser, and that can't do. So what can you do? What are you allowed to do if you get a Baharis in your body? A person gets Saras. He's sitting there with his Baharis. What can you do? Says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. Think about what caused you to get that Nega in the first place. What did you do? It's not about getting rid of it now. The way to get rid of it is to think about how you got it. What did you do to deserve to get this punishment? I'm not going to say this about every sickness, but this is not relegated only to tzaras. You catch a cold, right? You catch a cold. I'm not saying physically, how did you catch the cold? What did you do in order to get it? I mean, spiritually, could you have done something the last couple days that caused your weakness in your system that allowed you to catch that cold? Does a Kaddish Baruch Hu possibly getting a punishment ready for you? And I'm telling you, if you can't think of anything, then come to me. I'll tell you what you did wrong. I'm sure I can find something. There's got to be something out there. But there's something that you have to be able to do, says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. You can't take it off, but Hashem can take it off. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to cut off these baharos. All you have to do, think about what you're going to do next time. Think of what you did in the past. And then the nega will be healed by Hashem himself. And here's the lav. The lav is, you can't cut it off. Hishomer b'negat tzaras lishma ma'od. You can't do it. But instead, ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, davenu HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do this. But then, what's up with Miriam? What do you learn from the next pasuk? Zachor es asher asa Hashem alakech l'Miriam. If this whole lav is don't cut off a baharis, remember what happened with Miriam. What does that have to do with Miriam? What's the line of Zachor with Miriam? Says the Chassam Sofer and the Meshech Chachma, they both say the exact same line. It's obvious. The proof that a person can't cut off the baharis is Miriam. Why do we say that? Well, we know B'nai Yisrael were on their way to Eretz Yisrael. B'nai Yisrael were on their way. They're in the Midbar. They're going straight up. They're ready to go straight to Eretz Yisrael, get in from the south part of Eretz Yisrael, go straight in. That's what they're expecting. They're expecting to go straight up into Eretz Yisrael. Miriam and Aaron spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu after Eldad and Medad, etc. They spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu, Lashon Hara, as we know. There was Lashon Hara being spoken about that. And it delayed their travels by 7 days. For 7 days, they could not move. For 7 days, they weren't allowed to be involved. Because of that, the people sat and thought about it. They realized what they were supposed to do, and they sent in spies. They ended up getting delayed by 39 years. Everything happened because why? What had happened? Because Miriam spoke out Lashon Hara. So you know what they should have done? What should they have done? As soon as Miriam got her Lashon Hara, she spoke Lashon Hara, she got Saras, what would have been the smartest thing to do? We've got a mitzvah to enter Eretz Yisrael. We've got Miriam with Tsaras, so we can't go. So what should we do? You know what we should do? Cut off the Tsaras. That's the first thing they should have done. Go to Miriam, cut off the Tsaras, and then we'll go straight to Eretz Yisrael. There's a mitzvah to go to Eretz Yisrael. Hashem wants us to go to Eretz Yisrael. It should be that even though she got Tsaras, move, cut it off and go immediately in. Must be you can't cut off Tsaras. In other words, don't cut off Tsaras. How do I know that? Because Miriam didn't cut off her Tsaras. If Miriam didn't cut off her Tsaras, it must be that that's the wrong thing to do. That you're not allowed to do such a thing. That's the concept over here, that such a thing would be forbidden, and we learn it from Miriam itself. What's the lesson? Says the Shach al HaTorah, don't kick back when you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishing you. Stop, instead of taking it and saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I think you're wrong. I think that this is wrong. Don't kick back. Don't cut off the Baharis. Don't say, it's your fault, God. It's because of something that you did. Take it, Ba'ahava. Understand that it's there for a reason. Negayim are called the Mizbeach Kapara. We don't get Negayim nowadays. Tsaras does not exist. So instead, we're going to transfer that to something else. You hurt your finger. You knocked your leg somewhere. Something happened. Use this as Mizbeach Kapara. I've had, for the last 6 weeks, you can still see it on my finger itself, I played basketball, and I hurt my finger badly enough that I've not been able to play basketball for almost 2 months now. For almost 2 months, I haven't been able to play. It's a killer. It's an absolute killer. It's something that I really want to do, and that's that. There's nothing I can do to be able to get rid of it. It's fractured, and that's the way it is. I kept thinking it was pulled, and I kept trying to pull it out to try to make sure it was not. It's fractured. It's gone. So what could I do? I could say to myself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you obviously don't want me to exercise. Forget it. I'm not going to exercise. It's your fault, and that's what I'm going to do. Or I'm going to accept I must have done something wrong. It's got to be on me. I'll take it upon myself. I'll try to work on something else. That's my Mizbeach Kapara. Hopefully it's not just Yisurin, it's a Mizbeach Kapara. And that's what it means by not cutting off a Baharis. Don't cut off your connection to God because something went wrong and you blame God for it. You say, God, it's your fault, you did something wrong. Instead, take it upon yourself. That's the idea that comes from Eov. Had Eov done this, none of Eov would have existed. None of Eov. I'm not comparing hurting my finger to what happened to Eov, losing all of his children, losing all of his money, and having his body wrecked with pain. That didn't happen to me, Baruch Hashem, and I never want that to happen to me. But the concept is that a person like you should have known. All you have to do is accept it. Accept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. He's the one doing it. And then everything goes through. That's the idea. Don't cut off the Baharis. The Panim Yafo says the whole pasuk is Belashon Rabin. It seems to be talking to the people as if all of you have to do such a thing. Not an individual, because it's not that. Two people are involved in cutting off the Baharis. If you cut off your own Baharis, certainly you're chayiv. But what would be, he said, if you're cutting off someone else's Baharis? Instead of having like a hair cutting place, there's like a Baharis cutting place. You get Tsaras, you go straight into the Baharis cutter. Is the Baharis cutter Chayiv, or are you Chayiv for allowing your Baharis to get cut off? If you're walking around and accidentally you brushed your arm up against something sharp and it cut off the Baharis, is that considered a shogeg? You did it by accident? This is what the Panim Yafos discusses. He has a diuk from the Rambam that it's possible you're only chayiv if you cut off your own Baharis, but not if you cut off somebody else's. So if you cut off someone else's, it's not like payas. We all know, right? If somebody cuts off payas, you are chayiv, the person who has the payas, and the guy who cuts the payas are chayiv. Both of you are involved in that iser. When it comes to a Baharis, it could be it's going to be completely different. Rav Hirsch says something amazing. Anybody know, anybody want to guess what the pasuk is right before we talk about Tsaras, right before we talk about not cutting off this piece of Tsaras? If you know, I'm going to give you 23 cents. This is a 23 cent question. Easy 23. What is it? No, it's not. It's not. That would have been 23 cents though. That was close. It's not to kidnap. You cannot kidnap a person. And if you do kidnap a person, you're chayiv misa. So what's the connection, asked Rav Hirsch, between kidnapping a person and cutting off a Baharis? What's the idea? You're going from one to the other. What in the world are you going from one to the other? But what does that mean? So it's obvious. kidnapping is something that witnesses have to get involved with. Beis Din has to get involved. The Edim go to Beis Din and they say what he did and they say that they warned the guy. And then if they do everything, then he ends up being chayiv in Beis Din, and that's that. Says the Pasuk. Don't think that it's just about kidnapping or murder or Gilui Arayos or Avodah Zarah where Beis Din is involved. That's considered an important sin, a horrible sin that a person did. Don't think that way. Social sins are also horrible sins. Sins between man and his friend that people don't think about, like Lashon Hara, or speaking out, or Ayin Hara, or things like that that you're giving to other people. These types of sins are just as bad. Just as bad. We don't consider them as bad. Kidnapping, we know, is usur. Fine. That murder, we know, is usur. But the Gemara in Arachin says, Lashon Hara is equal to the big three. It's like you're murdering the person. It's like there's Gilui Arayos involved. It's like there's Avodah Zarah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has that watchful eye on us. And instead of Beis Din being involved, like it is by kidnapping or by murder, when it comes to Lashon Hara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is involved. It's called a nega. People, what does nega mean? The word negiyah. What does that word mean? Nega is to touch. You know what it's like? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu touching the person, putting his hand and saying, stop. Just stop. When you're speaking Lashon Hara and you get saras, it's literally HaKadosh Baruch Hu putting his hand on you and saying, this is not for you. You're not ready for this. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu touches you, it's ki'ilu, he's giving you a warning. The white spot is like you're dead. When you die, you lose the pigmentation in your skin. The skin color is gone and you turn all white. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is killing you, because you spoke Lashon Hara. That's what the Nega Tzaras is. The Nega is that way, and that's why, as we've spoken about before, if you're white from head to toe, you're Tahor. Because at that point, you might as well be dead. You're so bad that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to touch every part of your body, he's like, stop, 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 stop. If you don't get it until your whole body is filled with white, then you're not even here anymore. There's no reason for you to be around. When a person commits murder, or he kidnaps, or he does something that's wrong, so you know you did something wrong. You can admit that you did something wrong. But Lashon Hara, we know this. And I'm speaking to myself as much as I'm speaking to everybody else. We know. You speak Lashon Hara, you're just like, yeah. It's all good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive me. I had a good reason for it. It's probably mutter. I haven't been through the Sefer Chafetz Chaim yet, but I'm sure it's mutter. I'm pretty sure it's going to be mutter for me to talk about him. Anyway, he's a Russia. Yeah, it's fine. You can talk about him in that way. See, that's the line that we get. In this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like, dude, I'm involved here. This is not Beis Din. This is not Edom. This is me. I am touching you. I'm the one doing this over here. That's the concept. The Pasuk says, don't think that way. Don't do it. He shomer b'neged tzaras. Lishmor me'od. Very careful. There's no other pasuk that says this line where it says he shomer three times in the pasuk. Lishmor me'od. To be so careful, because there's nothing like Lashon Hara. Nothing like it that ruins not just people, but society, the society at large. You have a bunch of people speaking Lashon Hara, you won't have a society. You don't have a community. It just doesn't happen. Rashi then says that the second pasuk is there to remind us what caused you to have the tzaras in the first place. As we said, Lashon Hara is involved, right? But we learn it from Miriam. Miriam is the first person where we see she speaks Lashon Hara, she gets immediate retribution, immediate tzaras. No one is Zocha the way that Miriam was Zocha to. Person speaking Lashon Hara, and while they're speaking Lashon Hara, they get tzaras, that's unheard of. You speak Lashon Hara, and at a later point, you get tzaras. That has happened. But at the point where you're speaking Lashon Hara, immediately Hashem says, whoa, dude, that's not for you. For Miriam to get it, it happened immediately. Even her greatness, and without a question, we are not doubting Miriam's greatness. Some say that Miriam was the greatest person of all the women that were there, and the women survived throughout the Midbar. They weren't involved in the Meraglim and Korach. She was the leader of all of the women. Miriam's greatness, the fact that she probably had good reasons for speaking Lashon Hara. It was in her schus that we had the Be'er Shom Miriam. We drank water in the schus of Miriam. Nonetheless, none of it helped her. None of it helped her. At the end, when she spoke Lashon Hara, she gets punished. And that should be a kal v'chomer to us. I'm not Miriam. I mean, I'm not giving everybody water. That's not happening. I don't have that greatness, and nonetheless, if Miriam gets punished, certainly I would be punished if I did something like that. The Rashbam, the Rosh, Das Zakenim, the Chizkuni, says the first pasuk is not a warning on the individual. It's a warning for Klal Yisrael, and it seems like it's teaching the same lesson that Rashi is doing over here. If a king does something stupid, if a king gets involved in something that he shouldn't do, Do not treat him any differently than you would anyone else. Even if a king, now I know that there's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Don the Melech, Lo Don the Lo Doninoso. That's a different, won't deal with that right now. But you cannot allow the king to get away with murder or even these types of social sins. A king is not above the law when it comes to these types of things. Uzziah decided that he wanted to go and serve in the Beis HaMikdash as a Kohen. Uzziah went to the Mizbeach and he started to serve. And the Kohanim pulled him down. He had saras on his forehead. He wasn't allowed to be king after this point. But he wanted to become a Kohen. And they didn't give him that deference. They didn't say, all right, you're the king. You get to do what you want to do. They went up to him and said, you're not a Kohen. Get down. He's not a Kohen. A king cannot be any different from anybody else. And we learned that from Miriam. You got to be so careful about saras. No one is excused, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done. And we see from Miriam that no matter how great you are, how great you've been, I don't care. You get punished when this happens. Sifri learns from here that you only get saras from speaking Lashon Hara. Anything else, you don't get saras for it. But it's interesting. Targum Yonason says there was another sin that Miriam was over on over here. She was choshed b'ksheirim. She suspected Moshe Rabbeinu of doing something wrong. What did she suspect Moshe Rabbeinu of doing wrong? Anybody remember from the parsha itself? Go ahead, Joel.
From his wife.
Staying away from Tzipora. They said, we're Nevi'im. We don't stay away from our spouses. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu, a Navi, staying away from his wife? Jews don't believe in celibacy. That's not what we do. So why in the world is he staying away from his wife? They didn't realize what kind of a Navi Moshe Rabbeinu was. The Peh El Peh Adabir Bo that Moshe Rabbeinu had. That Choshed Bichsherim that Miriam had caused her to get Saras. That's Targum Yonason's line. Not Lashon Hara. The Choshed Bichsherim caused her to get it. She suspected somebody, wrongly suspected Moshe of doing something wrong. That's what happened. That's a Pella. That's an unbelievable Targum Yonason against almost everybody out there. Now the Ramban actually says, this is a mitzvah aseh. I don't know if you guys, if you look at the end of your sitter, I know, by the end of davening, right, you get to Aleinu, and you're just like, I'm totally out, dude. I'm out. You get to the yom is like a bracha levatala. Bracha levatala. After the yom, there are sheish zchiros in your sitter. Six different psukim that you should say that are called the sheish zchiros, the six things to remember every single day. Sfardim have 10, and in certain sidurim you have 10. But there are six things that are brought in every art scroll sitter. It's at the end of that, right before the Ani Mamins, right after the Yom and after Ledavid, etc. Turn the page after Ledavid Hashemori right now, and you'll see the Sheish Sechiros. You're supposed to remember six things every day. According to the Ramban, if you say this pasuk, Zachor es asher asa Hashem Elokecha l'Miriam b'derech b'tzeis l'Mitzrayim, you say that pasuk, you're mekayim a mitzvah asay from the Torah. It's a mitzvah. It's one of the 613, says the Ramban, to remember how important it is not to speak Lashon Hara. That is a mitzvah. You know what else is a mitzvah? Remembering Shabbos. Remembering about the Egel Azov. Remembering Amalek and how we can't get involved. All these things, what happened to us in the Midbar, they are mitzvah. Six different things that we have them. Those six are there. One of them is remembering what happened to Miriam when she spoke Lashon Hara. She spoke privately between her and Aaron, about her brother whom she loved tremendously. She was a tzedekes. He was willing to be mochel her. He said, I'm a big un. He was such an un of Moshe Rabbeinu, humblest man alive, forgave her as if it was nothing. And nonetheless, she was still punished. It reminds us how important, and that's the remembrance. And just saying it, saying the words, is mitzvah say. If you haven't said it this morning yet, say it now. The pasuk is right there on page one on your sheets. Just say it. It's a mitzvah say every time you say it. Once a day, you get it. I don't know if you would say it's a mitzvah chiyuvis, which you're chayiv to do every day, or a mitzvah kiyumis, that every time you say it, you're mekayim a mitzvah. I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. But who knows? It could be that every time you say the pasuk over and over and over again, you get a different mitzvah. That's a possibility because of how great this is. And this is true wherever it says the word zachor. If you have zachor anywhere in the Torah, this is what it means, and it's got to be done with your mouth. To say it out loud with your mouth. That is an unbelievable suggestion. And it's an unbelievable mitzvah. So easy. It's just at the end of your davening and you just do it and it's automatic right there. Now, we know how important Lashon Hara is, we said before. So the kash is, where is there a pasuk about it? Where do we have a pasuk that tells us don't speak Lashon Hara? And the answer must be, this is it. Zachor, Es Asher Asah Hashem Elokech Miriam. He's Shomer Ma'od. Be very careful. This is where we learn not to speak Lashon Hara. it's a Pella that it's not brought by too many people, but it's clear this is the Pasuk not to speak Lashon Hara, not to be that person. Rechilus, lo selech rachil ba'amecha. That's Rechilus. But Lashon Hara, where do we see Lashon Hara? It's got to be here. This is it. Chafetz Chaim says there is a chiv to publicly speak out how bad this mitzvah, this avera is. How to stay away from it. The rochel, the merchant, you for sure know this medrash. The rochel went about, mi boi chayi, who wants life? And they came out, Rabbi Yannai came out and said, I want life. How do you get life? And he said, you don't need it, said to Rabbi Yannai. And he showed him the pasuk, mi ha'ish ha'chafetz Chaim, right? Oi, v'yamim lerosov, who's the guy who desires life? Nitzor l'shon chameiros v'sacha medaber mirma. Yes, that's how the Chafetz Chaim got the name for the Sefer. But nitzor l'shon chameiros, stop yourself from speaking out those words. We say it every Shabbos in our Pesukei Zimra. Mi yesh Chafetz Chaim. If you say this, if you do it properly, then all of a sudden everything goes together. The Rav Schwab quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. This is a scary Rambam. He says in Hilchos Tshuva Paragimel, there are people that have no chelik in Olam Haba. Now, he goes through the list. Some of them are obvious. Apikorsim, people don't believe in God, people don't believe in Tzchias HaMesim. You know what he says? In the list of people who have no chelik in Olam Haba, he says, Balei Lashon Hara. People, not to speak Lashon Hara once in a while, if you're a Baal Lashon Hara. What's a Baal Lashon Hara? I don't know. I don't want to mention anyone, so I'm not going to. A person who, his job is to speak Lashon Hara, a newspaper reporter. If that's your job is to speak out Lashon Hara about people, that's your job? No chelek in Olam Haba. Can you imagine that? You're on the same level. You go down there and you see like murderer, Megala Arias, Oved Avodah Zarah. What are you in for? Oh man, I spoke Lashon Hara for a living. That's the guy. And nothing. He's got no chelek. Nothing out there. It's an amazing, amazing line. But the Rambam says it. Very careful. Lishmor Ma'od. You don't realize how bad Lashon Hara is. You don't realize what it does. Truth is, Torah Tamima that says this comes from a Torah Kohanim. Parsh B'Kukose, it says, Shtei Shona Bevicha. You have to mamash say it with your mouth constantly. I can't speak Lashon Hara. I can't speak Lashon Hara. And it'll help. Miriam sinned with her mouth. The tikkun is to mention what Miriam did. We say what Miriam did itself. Now, the Chasam Sofer says two questions here that are obvious, and I'm sure people are thinking it. I ask this question all the time. Number one, if the whole Pasuk is teaching us not to speak Lashon Hara, why say, remember what Miriam did? What should you say? You want to speak about Lashon Hara, right? Remember that Miriam spoke Lashon Hara. Remember how bad Lashon Hara is. That's what you should say. What are you saying? Remember what Miriam did. And you're like, oh, what did Miriam do? Like, why should that even be a question? Just say straight out, remember Lashon Hara. Remember that Lashon Hara is bad. Number two, why are we using, is this not Lashon Hara? Why are we using Miriam to say, remember what Miriam did? She spoke Lashon Hara. So you do that now. That doesn't make any sense. It's a question that's so obvious. I know that everybody's thinking it as it goes through. That is so crazy. We're telling you not to speak Lashon Hara. Not to speak Lashon Hara. Why not? Because of Miriam. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to. Don't speak like that person did. She was evil. That's terrible. What in the world is going on here? So I guess you could say that Miriam was mochel and said, sure, write about me. But I don't know where that mechila would come in. And obviously, the Torah is written by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, not by Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not like a guy. So like, Miriam, do you mind? No? Okay, I got you. Like, that's not how it works, right? This is from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why in the world is Hashem reminding us not to speak Lashon Hara by speaking Lashon Hara? That's the kasha. Good question? Solid question, right? Okay, so the Chasam Sofer answers that Miriam and Aaron never meant to speak Lashon Hara. This is a huge chiddush of the Chasam Sofer. If you don't accept it, you're Russia, but I accept that, okay? This is one of the best answers you'll ever hear about this subject. It's amazing. Miriam and Aaron sat down. They weren't meaning to speak Lashon Hara. You know what they were speaking about? They were speaking about the greatness of a tzaddik. Miriam and Aaron had a set seder. You know, Rav Avigdor Miller was one time sitting at a wedding, and his son came up to him. He realized he was sitting by himself. His son came up to him, and he said, Rebbe, can I sit down and talk to you? Do you mind if I sit down and talk to you? So Rav Avigdor Miller says, is it very important right now, or can it wait? He said, no, it can wait. I saw you were by yourself. He said, if you don't mind, I'd rather wait, because this is his granddaughter's wedding, or great-granddaughter's honor, whatever it is. He said, I have a seder at every wedding of my children and grandchildren to sit down and give Akaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they turned out from. He had a Seder at his kids' and grandkids' weddings that his kids turned out okay. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. So Miriam and Aaron had a Seder. Their Seder, their night Seder, but let's say a Thursday night Mishmor. Their Thursday night Mishmor was sit down and tell over praises of Moshe Rabbeinu, of the Tzaddik Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what they did. Each one would say, here's what Moshe Rabbeinu did this week. Here's what I saw Moshe Rabbeinu do this week. They would say over the greatness of the greatest Tzaddik of their generation, the greatest Tzaddik of all time, of Moshe Rabbeinu. And they sat down and they talked about it. As they were going on, they got to the point where one of them said, he even separated from Tzipporah so that he was connected with the Kaddish Baruch Hu more than anybody else. And on that, they sort of like looked, they were like, huh, you know, we didn't do that. This wasn't Miriam and Aaron looking at each other and saying, what's up with Moshe? That's the way it's depicted, because I don't know if it's from the Medrash Says or the Little Medrash Says or, you know, the Rebbe that you had. It's not like Miriam and Aaron are like, I hate that guy Moshe. That's not what's happening here. It's Miriam and Aaron talking about the praise of Moshe, and on the side, they were like, huh, it's different. You know, he's separate, but we didn't need to. And that was it. That was it. But that was enough. That was enough that once they got to a point where it was quasi enough so that they said one extra thing that they didn't need to say, praising, 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 and one extra thing that they didn't need to say, then all of a sudden it became, uh-oh, did something wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Achsam Sofer, allowed it to happen. Allowed it to happen to show us, to teach us a lesson. You cannot go overboard when speaking about tzaddikim, or the result will be you'll end up saying something bad about the tzaddik. You read through, I'm not giving like, you know, like a biography of a great gadol. At one point, right, when you're praising and praising and praising, you're just like, oh, sheesh. Man, was this guy just perfect? Right there, that's a problem. You can't do that. There comes a point where you can't go overboard. You can't go overboard in what the person is. Obviously, he's a tzaddik. You can speak out the greatness of the tzaddik. You just can't go too much. Give me 1 second. Let me finish off what the Chassam Sofer says. The Marshan Megillah asks, wait. They sat down to do a mitzvah. You're protected when you do a mitzvah. How does a mitzvah turn into an aveira? They were doing a mitzvah and all of a sudden HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused them to do something wrong, so it teaches us a lesson in the future. What did they do wrong? They didn't do anything wrong. They were doing sitting down and doing a mitzvah. Hashem should have helped them that such words didn't come from their mouths. They were tzaddikim themselves. So why didn't that happen? So the idea is that they went a bit too far, says the Marsha. Chassam Sofer says, I don't understand that answer of the Marsha. Instead, he says, it depends. If you're praising the greatness of the tzaddik, what makes him into a tzaddik, then ein achanami. You're right. You will never sin. Speaking about the greatness of the tzaddik, how great of a tzaddik he is, what he does for chesed, how big of a learner he is, then you'll never come to say anything bad about the tzaddik. But if you start speaking about other things, oh, and by the way, he has awesome handwriting. Something that has no shaychus to him being a tzaddik, then you could go a little bit overboard. Miriam and Aaron, again, this was not typical. This is not typical. Miriam and Aaron were speaking about the greatness and the praises of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they added on something that had no shaychus to the tzidkus of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that led them, that made an opening, that they spoke out something which was questionable. And that's what happened over here. And this is the lesson that we're learning. It's not Lashon Hara about Miriam, because Miriam never spoke Lashon Hara. Miriam was not into this Lashon Hara. Says the Chassam Sofer, the whole point is that Miriam was there speaking out unbelievable things. This is almost like a praise of Miriam. Remember what happened to Miriam when she spoke out the praises, doing what a tzaddik does, talking about other tzaddikim, praising other tzaddikim, that going overboard could cause you to become punished. Be careful with what happens. And that means we're not downgrading. We're not saying that Miriam did anything wrong, chas v'shalom. We're saying that she went too far. Too far in her praises of her brother Moshe Rabbeinu, and that led them to say something that Kaddish Baruch Hu put in their mouths to say it. Now, that's the Chassam Sofer's answer. It's a big chiddush. But it doesn't really answer the question. Right? I mean, at the end of the day, it's still Lashon Hara about Miriam, that she went too far. Lashon Hara, that she somewhat did something. So if Aaron Cutler says, it seems making a mitzvah saseh out of this is something that's going to last forever. So he says, the point is, all of this is never speak. It's worth speaking about Miriam in derogatory fashion in order to get the lesson across. Sometimes we're not convinced. We hear about it, and you look at it. If the Pasuk would have said, let's just say the line, the Pasuk would have said, don't speak Lashon Hara. I know. I get it. I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara. I'll try not to. Okay, maybe once. You'll do stuff, but you know, it's just not, I'm going to try, I just can't promise anything. That's what's going to end up happening. Here, the line is, says Rav Aaron Cutler, the line is, when you hear that Miriam did it, it causes a much bigger effect, a much bigger thing. Key? Okay, much bigger effect for anything else. You don't realize what ends up happening over here. That's the idea, says Rav Aaron Cutler. Rav Aaron Cutler says, what's happening over here is something that's so strange. I don't want to, it's so strange. Says Rav Aaron Cutler, how can we stay away from this terrible sin? Miriam got messed up with this. So when we say it's Lashon Hara, here's the halacha, and we're learning it from over here, says Rav Aaron Cutler. If it's there, if somebody is telling you something in order to show you how chamor, how wichtig, important this Isser is, then it's not Lashon Hara. It's important to say because people won't get the idea otherwise. I tell you not to speak Lashon Hara, oh, whatever. I tell you Miriam, even Miriam messed up in this. Now you understand, whoa, this is way too much. That might be Lashon Hara, but it's Lashon Hara for a purpose, a reason, and it's a good reason that helps us learn. That is already going to be okay. What's up?
Go.
Litoelis.
Right. But it depends on circumstances. In that case, like you can say over derogatory information. In a very specific case.
Very, very good. Litoelis is always there. Unfortunately, Joel's 100% right. That has happened quite often, unfortunately, with Shiduchim. Are you allowed to tell somebody that a person who's in Shiduchim right now is not doing so well when it comes to X, Y, and Z? I mean, if you let them get married, she's going to go into the marriage thinking that the guy's something that he's not. So these are very important halachas to be able to ask. I'm going to ask you two questions. Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein brings up these questions. Listen to these cases, and you guys tell me what you would do in these cases, okay? Number one, he brings down, you know your father owns a store, okay? Your father owns a store, and he takes advantage of children that come in for their parents. The children come in to buy things for their parents, and they grab this thing and that thing, whatever. They buy three things. The father marks it down as if they bought four things. Just adds on a thing to the kids. He knows that the kids are not going to, you know, they're not going to really check on what the kid did. So the father that owned the makolet is checking down like a little bit extra. So the child of this father asked Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, what should I do? Am I required to tell on my father? Should I tell people to stop patronizing the store? Should I tell them that he's cheating them? Because if I do that, right, obviously, forget about it. It's Lashon Hara, number one. But it's litoelis, as you just said. On the other hand, it's going up against kibud avim. I'm literally going to ruin the business of my father. He said he gave mussar to his father before. It didn't work. So what do you do in that case? What's the halacha in that case? Should you tell somebody? Should you not? What do you do? Second case. A child of a doctor works as a nurse in the same hospital as her father. The father's a doctor. She works as a nurse. She knows that every single day, every week, her father goes out with stuff in his pockets. Whether it's pens or medicines or other things, he leaves taking a couple things from the hospital itself. So she went up to him and said, you can't do that. That's stealing. You're taking from the hospital itself. You're not allowed to steal from the hospital. It's a Jewish hospital. It's an Eretz Yisrael. So it's a Jewish hospital. You can't take from them. His father said, it's not that big of a deal. I'm allowed to do this. They allow me to do this. Now, it might be true regarding the pen. Maybe that's true. But medicines, I think we all understand, that's not something you're allowed to do. So the girl, the daughter, said she gave him mussar tons of times, asked her father in a kind way, what do you do? What should I do? Etc. At the end of the day, he's not listening. So what do I do? What do you do? Are you allowed to go to his superior? Tell him what the doctor is doing. You know what that could happen? What could happen, right? He could be reprimanded. He could be fired. Could be fired. Should she say, maybe you should check everyone's pockets at the end of the day? Is that going to cause her father to be destroyed? Again, there's Lashon Hara involved, but it's litoelis for the hospital itself or to stop her father from stealing. But at the end of the day, there's kibud avim involved. Where does it go? He doesn't answer either question. These are questions that he leaves purposely blank. I don't know. This is more of a thought question that a person should have and ask a shaila to whatever rav you're going to go to. But these are kashas that people have to ask when it comes to Lashon Hara. And really, as you said, the idea of litoelis, Lashon Hara litoelis, what we're learning from over here, we think it's so obvious. Well, it seems so strange. We're using Miriam to teach this lesson. Rav Aaron Cutler is telling us it's worth it. It's worth it. This is the halacha. You have to do it. This is the way these things happen. This is how you're going to learn the lesson. You hear that even Miriam, you're like, oh, I didn't realize. That makes it amazing. That's something that's there. The Chafetz Chaim gives a mashal. There was once a diabetic who was given medicine to help him before his sickness got any worse. He's got this meds. He had to observe the most strict diet that you could possibly imagine. Sat there and he was told, you can't eat this, you must eat this, you can't have that. We all know, people that have diabetes, unfortunately, are not able to have so many things that other people take for granted. So he had to take the medicines exactly on time and exactly where it is. I think everybody understands that, right? If you don't do it at a certain point, the insulin, the other things that might happen, there are terrible things that could happen if you don't take the medicines exactly on time. The doctor told him exactly what to do. Months passed and his situation got gravely worse. So bad, in fact, that the man had to go to the hospital. It was so bad he crashed. His levels went fluctuated up and down and up and down, and he was taking it. So he told the doctor. The doctor came in and he said, I don't understand you, he told the doctor. I've been taking the medicines religiously. You told me to take it at a certain time. I've been taking them at every single time, exactly when I'm supposed to do it. He said, so why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to me? He said to the doctor, it's your fault. You gave me the wrong medicines. The doctor said, what's your diet like? What have you been doing? And he admitted, you know, I like sugar. I like this stuff. I can't stop. So I've been eating a lot of this and a lot of that. I've been doing that. So the doctor said, you can't blame me. You can't complain to me, said the doctor. You weren't careful with my other instructions. You can't blame the results on anyone but your own self-control issues. The idea is it's a perfect mashal, says the Chafetz Chaim, when it comes to a thing like Lashon Hara. The pasuk says, he's shomer ma'od. It doesn't say that anywhere. Be very careful. He shomer three times in a pasuk. You're telling me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I keep everything in the Torah. I'm davening every day. I'm learning every day. I'm not lying, cheating, stealing. I'm not doing that. And yet still you're giving me this. Yet you're punishing me with this, that, and the other. Why aren't I succeeding? Why aren't you giving me the extra bit of success that I see by my friends? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at you and says, have you been careful with your diet? Have you been careful about your Lashon Hara? Lashon Hara is so strong, it can destroy everything else. It can destroy everything. You might be taking your medicine religiously, but this one thing, the diet, the Lashon Hara, can destroy it all. Have you been doing that? And if the answer is no, I haven't been so careful with Lashon Hara, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you have no one to blame but yourself. There's no one else to put it on. I'm sorry. You know, it's funny. No, it's not the only example, but it's one of the strongest ones that we don't consider to be this bad. Avodah Zarah obviously would be in this category, right? There are other things that might be in this category. Anything that's Chayiv Kares technically would be in this category. There are 36 of them altogether. But Lashon Hara is something that's so common. Everybody does a Vak Lashon Hara, says the Gemara. Akol ba Vak Lashon Hara. It's so common, the Gemara in Arachan and Tes Zayin. It's just difficult to go through. So what happens nowadays, guys? There's no Mitzrayim nowadays. So what's this mitzvah? What are we reminding ourselves? Remember what happened to Miriam. I speak Lashon Hara all the time. I'm not getting Saras. So what are we reminding ourselves of? Chafetz Chaim says, it seems obvious, he feels anius is the current Saras. Saras nowadays is people not having enough money to live. It's crazy, right? I have a bigger portfolio than probably my grandfather, great-grandfather, my great-great-grandfather, great-great-great-grandfather combined. And yet, I could barely make ends meet. Just think about that. I have more amenities than any of my... You could combine all my grandparents. They would kill to have a life like mine. Kill to have a life like mine. And yet, I'm not poor, Baruch Hashem, right? But nonetheless, it's not like I have tens of thousand dollars in a bank account. I'm not sitting there with like another home in Florida. It's just not happening. So what's pshat? Says the Chafetz Chaim, Lashon Hara causes Saras. Saras nowadays is the inability to have enough money to do what you need to do. That's it. That's what it is. Crazy, right? Says the Chafetz Chaim. Anius. Anius. We're richer than ever before. And yet, nonetheless, we consider ourselves poor. We consider ourselves poor. That's an unbelievable line from the Chafetz Chaim. That's how bad it gets. Says the Talmud Asur Sternbach that he heard himself. Nowadays, it's not just poor. Your neshamos are pogum from Lashon Hara. You can't think straight. You try to have the right svaras. You try to get yourself to do something. Maybe you've had this. I want to get up and I want to go to that shir. I really want to go learn. I got to get up for davening. And you know what your neshama says? I agree with you. And you know what your body says? No. That's it. There's like a disconnect. I want to get up. The alarm clock's going off. You're like, I know I have a Seder right now. I can do this. And the alarm clock's going, and you're just like, snooze. Your finger is right there, and you're just like, just press off and get up. Just get up. And you're saying to yourself, get up, get up, get up. And you know what your body says? No, I'm not. That's saras. That is what saras is. Saras is an inability to get somewhere. It's your inability to feel something. That's what it is, says Tom Vadas. Our generation is filled with depression. Why? We live awesome lives. We have literally hundreds of pairs more clothing than anyone in the last generation. Every single one of us. Every single one. There is so much that we have. Why are we depressed? It's saras. And where does saras come from? From Lashon Hara. It's destroying us. Destroying our generation. And we're sitting there. Honestly, some people would prefer saras. I'd rather just have the white thing on my body. See, saras, I can actually look at it and be like, oh, that's a problem. I probably should work on that. That's something that's out there. Since it's public, it's on my hand, nobody's going to come up to me. They're going to be like, whoa, dude, do you speak a lot of Lashon Hara? I'm not telling you anything. Can you imagine an advisor, a psychologist, a rabbi having saras? Rabbi, I have a... No, never mind. I'm going to go find somebody else who doesn't talk about me to other people. That's it. It's a crazy thought. And the saras nowadays, I think it's my fault. I think it's something else. It's Lashon Hara. My inability to daven, my inability to connect the way that I want to. Sometimes my tefillah is awesome, and sometimes my tefillah is a tefillah. I got to daven, so I daven. This is saras. We have to start thinking this way. When we start thinking this way, this is the pasuk that we say every day. It's a mitzvah. Zochor es asher asah Hashem elokecha Miriam. Remember what happened to Miriam. She got saras. I am destroying myself. That's the way that I have to start thinking to myself. When I start thinking to myself that way, that changes everything. Everything changes. Everything becomes better. Everything becomes something. This is something that we can mamish work on and become greater in. We should be zocha, guys. We should be zocha that not speaking Lashon Hara to lead us to higher levels of Kedusha and to allow ourselves to be those people who don't need saras to teach us this lesson. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.